to talk about heart problems this morning. No, not the kind that has to do with what's inside you physically, but a much more important part of your makeup. We live in a culture that's having heart trouble. I think in the church we're having heart trouble. And again, I'm not talking about cholesterol and high blood pressure and all that. Romans 10 and verse 10 says, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified." It is with your heart that you believe and are justified. You know, we can put on a good show. We can do all the right things, say all the right things, look good. But what we really feel, what's really inside of us, is what really matters. The fact that you're here every Sunday, the fact that you jump through all the hoops, is not as important as what you really and truly feel inside. Jesus said in Matthew 15, beginning with verse 17, "Don't you see that whatever enters the body goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these make a man unclean." The word unclean here involves not just some kind of Jewish ritual. It involves the productivity of our lives. He goes on and says that. For he says, "For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. Eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean." And don't tell Cindy I said you don't have to wash your hands. But that's a different realm, and quite frankly, it's a less important realm. What we really feel determines how we talk. How we really feel inside determines how vulnerable we are to sexual activity outside of God's plan. What's inside of us makes us think about people that maybe we don't share everything with in the right way. Unclean here means a messed up life, a life that is full of regret. Webster defines heart two ways. One is the pump, the other as the seat of emotion. What we really feel and think, what we really are. We can put on a great show, but what's inside of us is what really is important. And I'm here to say to you this morning, the heart can change. I'm not talking about the pump again. I'm talking about how we think, what we really feel about things. It takes time, but it can change. I'm not the same person I was 50 years ago, 25 years ago, a week ago. We have to grow. We have to go through change. I had an interesting experience years ago. I had a man who I was a survey and recon sergeant. I had a man in my survey crew who was extremely racially prejudiced. And all of a sudden we were assigned a new recruit. His name was Johnny Mac Brown. Some of you might recognize that name because he was a great football player. I had played against him in high school. I knew him. He was a lot better than I was. Johnny Mac was assigned to my platoon. And this young man who was extremely racially prejudiced told me he wanted to be reassigned. He said, "I can't work with a black man." Well, that was enough of a challenge for me, and I talked to Johnny Mac, and it was enough of a challenge for him to say, "Well, we'll just see whether he can or not." We went through a lot together. When you're in the military, you learn to depend upon each other. And I remember one time we were sitting in a foxhole, this young man and I, waiting for the shooting to stop for a moment. And he looked at me and there were tears rolling down his face. And he said, "I really hope I can learn to love Johnny Mac." And I said to him, "That's the beginning. If you really want to, God can change your heart." And you know, 3 years later, we were in another situation right before I got out of the service. We were right in a situation where that situation occurred again. And he was all smiles with his arm around Johnny Mac as they moved away from what had been a close call. And I thought to myself, you know, that's how God can change us. I want to share with you some things that God tells us this morning about our heart. Some things that you and I need to think about, things that perhaps can help us begin to change. And I'm not going to cover everything here this morning. We'll just talk about some biblical things. There are other things that can be a part of the change experience. But God wants us to work at changing our heart, at how we feel about things. For example, we need to work towards having a willing heart. A willing heart. Exodus 35 and verse 5, God comes to the Israelites and he says through Moses, "From what you have, take an offering for the Lord." From what you have, from how you feel, from your thankfulness is the actual meaning of the Hebrew there. And the Bible tells us they had this collection to build the Ark of the Covenant, and Moses had to ask them to stop giving because they had too much to make the Ark. More than they needed. When's the last time you heard about a church having to ask people to stop contributing because they had too much? See, there was a positive feeling. Their feeling, their willingness to be giving people overwhelmed to the point where they had to be asked to stop from giving. What you believe in, you pursue and sacrifice for. To have a willing heart, we have to act spontaneously and gladly, not of necessity. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7 says, "Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver." Let me tell you something, and I mean this very sincerely. If you can't give cheerfully, don't. If you can't give cheerfully, you got a heart problem. You got a heart problem. Don't give. Don't give until you have matured to the point, until you have grown to the point, until your heart has changed to the point where you really want to give, to be a part of changing what's going on. The Bible also tells us that we should have a complete heart. The word in the Greek is perfect, but it means to complete, be a complete heart. Listen to 1 Chronicles 29, verse 9, one of the positive times in the Israelites' history. It says the people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders. At the willing response of their leaders. For they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced greatly. I challenge fathers to be willing to be a father. To be glad to be a father. The people rejoiced to the willing response of their leaders. Be thankful that you have children, that you have the blessing of being able to raise them and to challenge them. And to protect them. And to bring them up to be the kind of adults that God wants them to be. Be sincere and genuine. Be involved. In a sense, I'm kind of glad Bill Gibson isn't here this morning. I wanted to pick on somebody. And he's the only one that's not here that I think fits the description here. But I want to suggest them to you. You want to have an example of somebody that has a willing response. Think about Brother Bill. There are others sitting here this morning, but I don't want to embarrass some of the men sitting here. Can't embarrass him. He's on the road going to his grandson's graduation. Have you ever known anybody that is as willing to serve as Bill Gibson? I haven't. In all my life, I've never known anybody like that. Will stop what he's doing to fix something for somebody else. That will make sacrifices for his grandkids, for his kids. What a wonderful example we have. What a blessing we have been to see a man with a complete heart. And Brother Bill fits that. We're also encouraged to have a tender heart. God says to Solomon, because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord, you will be buried in peace. That's 2 Chronicles 34:27. What's your reaction to what you hear from God? Do you have a tender heart? Are you responsive? Do you find yourself not wanting to listen? That's a heart problem. Do you find yourself with a, yeah, but? That's a heart problem. A lot of times when I'm discussing things with atheists on the web and in our ministry and in our public programs, well, I'll make a point and they'll say, yeah, but. See, they're not listening. They don't have a tender heart. They don't have a responsive heart. Brothers and sisters, we need to be willing to listen. Young folks, you need to be willing to listen. It's so important to develop a heart that is open to change, and you never get so old as you don't need to change. Let me tell you that from experience. And don't fear having a broken heart. You know, that's true whether we talk about a love of a physical nature, or whether we talk about a relationship to God. Don't be afraid to have your heart broken, because if you're afraid, if you won't get involved in a relationship because you think you're going to get hurt, it will paralyze you. It will paralyze you. You know, I have to confess to you, when I started getting interested in Cynthia, one of the things that crossed my mind is, you know, there's no probability here that she's going to be willing to look at you, much less accept you. Are you willing to gamble on that? And my response eventually was yes. I may get hurt, but it's worth a shot. And let me tell you, young people, when you are in love with somebody, you need to realize there's always the potential to get hurt, but it's well worth that pain. Part of having a broken heart is to be willing to be broken for failure. When you've made mistakes and you've done something wrong, do you get defensive? Or can you be brokenhearted? Listen to David. You know, he's a man after God's own heart who had some terrible, terrible sins in his life. And he was brokenhearted about it. Listen to him. Psalms 51, verse 3. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Brokenhearted. The cure for arrogancy. I'd also like to encourage you to realize something else you can do about heart trouble. And that is that you can make your unity with God your primary union. Psalms 86 and verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may glorify your name forever. Matthew 22 and verse 37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14 warns us to be careful that you are not yoked together with unbelievers. Center your affections on God. Don't embrace other gods. You know, there's everything out there appealing for our allegiance. I get about 50 emails and letters a week from people wanting me to be a part of their cause. Everything from women's rights to prevention of cruelty to animals. And many of these things are good and right. I'd like to call your attention to something that happened that some of you were a part of that demonstrates the danger of being too heavily aligned with man-made situations. For several years, there's been a program called the Susan Coleman Breast Cancer Program. And some of our, I know Kamoka and some of our ladies have walked in the Susan Coleman blue ribbon or pink ribbon or red ribbon. I think it was red ribbon. Cause to raise money. It's a wonderful thing. Raise money for research to cure breast cancer. And I'm not suggesting that that not be done, but I want to call your attention to what happened. Last year, it was discovered that 40% of the money nationally was going to abortion clinics. And see, this is the problem with human situations. I think very few of the women who were concerned about breast cancer wanted to see their resources going for abortions, whatever their position was on abortions. I think that's been corrected in the Susan Coleman program, and if it's coming up and you want to walk in it, by all means do. But the program that is structured by men are always going to be subject to these kinds of difficulties. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Put your effort, put your time, put your energy into things associated with God's service. There's so much more purity, so much more unity, so much more productiveness than being involved in too many things that are part of the world. I say that in the same breath. I say to enlarge your heart, to care about everyone. You know, one of the most beautiful pictures of Jesus is in Matthew 9, beginning with verse 35. The Bible says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. You know, we live in a time when we see a lot of people that fit that description. A lot of people that are distraught, confused about God. Hasn't the last 2 weeks been just amazing? Just amazing to see how some people are suffering. How some people are being abused. The young lady who was stoned to death by her father and her family simply because she wanted to choose who to marry. And you go to heart, go out to women who are in that kind of a situation, that kind of a culture. Two teenage girls raped 35 times and then hung from a tree because their culture demeans the value of women. Can your heart go out to people like that? Can you be the kind of person where your heart is moved? Can you shed a tear for somebody you don't even know who's going through that kind of pain? That's what God calls us to. That's the kind of caring people God wants us to be. An enlarged heart. Have a satisfied heart. Be solid in your heart. Proverbs 14, verse 30 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker. But whosoever is kind to the needy honors God. We need to be right in doctrine. Know why you believe what you believe. Know why you do what you do. Today's bulletin has an article on the back talking about communion. One of the things we try to do here is to help us be sure about our doctrine, about why we do what we do. And when we do that, we crowd out cynicism. Crowd out the lack of involvement we see in the world around us. We also need to have a pure heart. Proverbs 15, verse 15 says, all the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful heart has a continual feast, a pure, optimistic heart with spirit. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 8, pure, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know something? Being opposed to things like pornography, pedophile behavior, foul language, that's not prudish. Being pure isn't kind of some kind of prissy, sort of non-involved, detached person. Purity means learning not to be self-righteous, not to be arrogant, but learning not to like, not to want to be a part of those things that are so destructive in our culture, lead to some of the tragedies that we've talked about. Work towards becoming completely true in your faith. Hebrews 10, verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. Draw near to God. See, church is not about putting on a show. Church is about being genuine in our response to God. I'm so proud, as small as we are, at how much we get done here. Never a week goes by that we aren't feeding people out of that room right over there. Never a year goes by when we're not distributing coats, reaching out to people. I get involved in the community because of things that I'm doing around here. I can hardly ever work on that sign out there without having somebody stop and talk to me about the work of this church. I think that's amazing. Even when sometimes we put something up there somebody doesn't like, at least they stop and let us know. Work towards becoming true to your faith. And finally, brothers and sisters, we need to have an honest and a good heart. Now in Luke 8, verse 15, we have the parable of the sower. And in the last part of that, it says, the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Folks, that's not me speaking, that's Jesus Christ speaking. Jesus wants you to have good soil. He wants you to be free of guile and hypocrisy. He wants you to be willing to be changed by the word. And here we are, starting the summer, school year's over. Have you been changed by your faith in God in the last 12 months? Have you grown? Has your heart enlarged? Has it become more pure? Have you, in fact, been willing to enter into a closer walk with God? Are you really willing to respond to God's invitation, to serve Him, to be a part of the solution to the problems of the world instead of a contributor? If you're here this morning and if your faith has not been that kind of faith, we want to encourage you to pray about it. If you would like for us to pray with you, we'll pray with you about it. If you're not a Christian, you can't change your heart until you open yourself to God and let His Spirit work within you. If in any way you're subject to the invitation of Christ, we encourage you to come and respond to the invitation of Jesus. As together we stand and sing to encourage you, won't you please come?